All right, so to continue, we're in the middle of Sukkei, Zamar Aleph, start over from Amar Vihoda, about 12 lines from the end of the narrow lines. So Amar Vihoda, Amar Abasi, any stock in the nest for Yisraim, and Basin does not get involved in selling property of Yisraim, Elim Ken has said Ribis Echelos behind, unless there was Ribis eating away at it from a goat, yeah. They'll sell the property in order to get that off their back, because otherwise it's just going to keep on increasing more and more. Rabbi Yechanan says, Oy l'shtar sheyesh bei ribis. Yes, one case would be if there's a document where they owe money and there's ribis in it. But another case would be Oy l'ksubas isha. Another case would be if it's a matter of paying off the wife's ksuba, mishum mizoni. And the reason why you would do that, and the reason why Basin would get involved and sell their property is because you also have something, you don't have an ongoing expense. You have the mezonos, you have the maintenance for the wife, which is going to keep on being an ongoing expense. So like this, let's just pay her uksuba and get it over.
That's, well, yes, but
we're going to see. We're going to see as we go through the discussion. There are a number of cases, actually, but yeah. So in general, then Basin would tell the creditor, come back when they're older, and you can take them to Basin then. But in these cases, then yeah. So the question is, Rab Asi, my time ala omer ksubas isha, why doesn't Rab Asi agree that in the case of a wife's ksuba that we should sell property in order to pay her and have done with it? The answer is, as he says, because the mezonos are all set, so hakinu le'rabbanan ma'isi yodea. Because after all, the Chachamim also made a takana that the wife is responsible for ma'isi yodea. Whatever she earns goes to her husband, or afterwards, after he dies, then it goes to the yisurim. So therefore, Abbas is saying, there's nothing to therefore. So the fact that they're paying mezonos is that it's all set by her ma'isi yodea. So therefore, there's no problem in that they're going to have to be paying out mezonos over time, because they're also... Well, that's the answer. So the answer is, v'idach, Rabbi Yochanan, the answer, zimnin d'loy sofka. Okay, but sometimes her ma'isi yodeh are not going to be enough. Sometimes it could happen that her mezonos are going to be more than ma'isi yodeh. Yeah, it could happen that she can't work at all. That's not a very common case, but more commonly would be that she doesn't have that much earning potential and the amount for her mezonos exceeds that. Okay. So the Gemara says, now let's look at our Mishnah and see which of these opinions it fits better. We said in the Mishnah, Shuma Yisomim Shloshim Yom, we said when we assess property of Yisomim to sell, then we have to advertise it for 30 days. The Shuma Hektish Shishim Yom, in the case of Hektish, for 60 days. Or Machrizim Baboiko over Erev, and we have to make announcements about it every morning and every evening. Meaning, in other words, that during those 30 days, the creditor or the woman is not going to be collecting this, is not going to be able to take this property. Because we're going to have to wait till it's actually sold. So we have to consider. But Maya Skinnin, what's the scenario we're talking about? Are we talking about a goyish creditor? Because that would be the only case where you have ribis. Well, then, Mitzayis, is he going to listen to Beis Din? So Beis Din says, we can't sell the property until we've advertised it for 30 days. He's going to say, I don't care about your laws. I want my money now. Obviously, obviously, we must be talking about a Jewish creditor. Well, the question is, and if there's ribis, we're not going to allow him. We're not going to say, yeah, you're right, you can collect your ribis, therefore we're going to say, so why do we have to sell it? Yeah. Now, okay, you could have the case, for example, the Sfasemis mentioned, you could have, for example, a Hector Isker, you could have, but those are somewhat less common. What about it? I mean, okay, so what about it then? I mean, then you're not selling the property. You still have the partnership. If he wants to dissolve the partnership, that's another matter. But as long as the partnership still exists, we're not talking about that. But so in the case of a Yisrael, okay, you could have, conceivably, you could have a Hetzer Iska or what have you, but that's not very common. A Hetzer Iska, you can have it's a form of ribis, which is mutter. Yeah, in other cases, back in Ezer Neshech, in Bav Metzia, we learned a number of cases that are similar to ribis, but are allowed in one way or another. A Hetzer Iska is basically where instead of a loan, you're making it into an investment. Yeah, well, you're making it right. You have the one who's providing the funds, the venture capitalist, like, and then you have the managing partner. And yeah, the venture capitalist is entitled to a return on his income. So that's a heterisca. They do it nowadays. For example, Jewish-owned banks do it in order to be able to charge interest on loans and other such things. So yeah, so you could conceivably have that, but it's not very common. So
lots to do that.
Yeah. Okay, so obviously then we must be talking about So if it was a Jewish Baal Choyv, then there's no ribis to talk about, because a Jew is not allowed to collect ribis. Beis Din is not going to say, yes, you're right, we have to sell the property. Okay, again, it's a possibility, but it's not very common, so the Gemara is not taking up that possibility. The El of the Loi Ka'ocho Ribisa, so obviously it must be talking about, it's a Jewish creditor, because again, a Goyish creditor is not necessarily going to listen and wait 30 days. We have to be talking about a Jewish creditor. There's no ribis involved, because Tony Nitzchokin, and still we're saying in the Mishnah that Beis Din gets involved and sells the property. So B'Shleim, a little Rabbi Yechanan, so according to Rabbi Yechanan, it works out well. Muki lo b'ksubas isha. Rabbi Yechanan will explain that we're talking about a case where we have a woman's ksuba to be paid. And because he says that in that case, because of mezonos, we're going to sell the property rather than have the mezonos be an ongoing thing. The El, a little of Asi kasha, but wouldn't it be a problem according to Rabbi Asi? What is the scenario in our Mishnah where on the one hand we're able to wait 30 days, but on the other hand, there's something such as, oh, sorry, I didn't know whether you were returning, man. What would be the case where, Rabbi Asi had said the only case where Beis Din can sell property of Yesonim is only if there's ribis involved. Now, we seem to have excluded the case of ribis, because apparently we're talking about a Jewish creditor, and therefore ribis is not relevant. So according to him, what would be the case in the Mishnah where we're selling property of Yesonim for debt anyway? The answer is Amalach Rav Asi. So Rav Asi will answer you. Second line of the medium side lines. Amalach Rav Asi. All Rav Yechanan min Nicha. So Rav Asi will say, you think it works out well according to Rav Yechanan?
How do you work it out for Rav Asi?
That's the question. How do you work it out for Rav Asi? We can't be talking about this ribis involved, because if it was a Goyish creditor who's the only kind who's allowed to collect ribis, he's not necessarily going to listen when we tell him you have to wait 30 days to collect your debt. We must be talking about a Jewish creditor. Rabbi Yechanan will say the Jewish creditor is the husband's widow who's waiting to collect her ksuba. But according to Rabbi Asi, that you don't do it in that case, because you don't worry about mezonos, because they're usually offset by ma'aseh yadah. According to him, the only case where you sell property of yesonim is only when there's ribis involved. So that, with a Jew, there's no ribis. So what are we talking about? Yeah. So the answer is like this. One second. After all, does it work out well according to Rabbi Yechanan either? Should we, says Rabbi Asi, look, according to Rabbi Yechanan, what are you telling me? We're going to ignore the question of mezonos, devade kamastada, where there's no question that they're having to pay out money from mezonos. Fine, maybe there might be a dare to offset it, but not necessarily. Either way, there's chayiv in mezonos. So you're saying we're going to ignore mezonos, where they're definitely standing to lose money, and we're going to go start advertising for 30 days. We don't know whether at the end of those 30 days we're actually going to be able to fetch a higher price. If we do, then sure, it makes it worthwhile. But if it turns out in the end that we still end up selling it for the same $1,000 that we evaluated it as, then the Yisraelim haven't gained anything. And meanwhile, they've lost by having to pay her 30 days' worth of mezonos. So Rav Asi is saying, according to Rav Yechanan, so you're telling me Rav Yechanan would understand the Mishnah to be talking about a case of mezonos, but why would we do that? Why would we ignore the certainty of having to pay the mezonos in favor of the possibility that we might that we might be able to make more money by advertising? And Beis Din's not supposed to do that. You can't speculate with property of discernment like that.
Why would we?
We know that they're going to have to pay mezonos for those 30 days. We might be able to get more money if we advertise it for 30 days, maybe not, but not necessarily. So how can we? We can't speculate like that with property of Yisraelim. The same way as we were saying before, the halacha is that the apotropos, for example, is not allowed to go to Beis Din for a case of Yisraelim, even where he's sure he's going to win, because it's not. So the same thing, Rav Asi is saying. Once Rav Yechanan also, you should argue in a case of mezonos, we should have to sell it immediately. Okay, the answer is holy kasha. Okay, that's not such a big problem, because the case would be where the almana comes to Beis Din to demand her ksuba, and once she does that, then she doesn't get mezonos. Kid Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, and that would be like what Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, hakevach subasa beBeis Din. Once she comes to Beis Din to claim her ksuba, ein la mezonos. At that point, she doesn't get mezonos anymore.
She claims it in Beis Din, but she doesn't get the ksuba immediately.
That's the point. In other words, once she comes to Beis Din, once she comes to Beis Din. So that the question is, in that case, once she's not getting mizonos, then what's the hurry? Ihochi is a cookie loy mizakakin in law. In that case, then we shouldn't get involved at all. Then we should tell her that you're going to have to wait to collect your ksuba until some future date when the yisemim are grown up. The answer is ella kibin di zakakin in law meikara. Fine, but the answer is once we get involved in the case to begin with. Because after all, she has to come to Beis Din to claim her ksuba, and at that point, Beis Din tells her, okay, now that you came to collect your ksuba, you're not getting mizonos anymore. So then once we start with that, mizakin lo b'soy. So then we have to finish through the thing. We can't leave her in limbo with no mizonos and no ksuba. So if we're going to start out, if we're going to tell her you can't get mizonos, then fine, we have to arrange to get her ksuba.
That's not awesome. As soon as she claims her ksuba,
yes, because you have a concept which the Gemara is going to talk about over here called Mishum Chino. You have a concept that the reason why we want her to be able to get Mizonis, and we want to be able to make sure that within reason that she should be able to get her Ksuba, is because of a concept called Chino, which is, there's a few different ways that the Rishonim have. Chino literally means grace. There's a few different ways that the Rishonim have of explaining what Chino is. Does it mean that we want to make it more enticing for women to get married? If they know that there's a certainty they're going to be able to collect their ksuba, they're more likely to want to get married in the first place. It can be also because this way it promotes harmony between the husband and wife as long as she's alive, that she knows she eventually has a ksuba to collect and therefore she's going to get along with her husband better. It can also be that Rambam understands Chino as basically being that she should have some assets, that if she wants to get remarried, that she has some assets to be able to bring into her new marriage. Whatever it is, you have that concept of Chino. But so therefore, we want to try to get her ksuba. But we're saying once she comes to Beis Din, then she doesn't get mizonos anymore, because at that point, like, she's not relying on the estate anymore. The reason why she's entitled to mizonos, as long as she hasn't collected her ksuba, is still considered. She still belongs to the family, basically. Once she collects her ksuba, that's it. You know, she's on her own, pretty much. Yeah. What? No, so that's the point. That's why we're saying that once Beis Din had to get involved to begin with, to the when she comes and says, I want my ksuba, and Beis Din tells her, okay, now you're not entitled to mizonos, so now we need to get her a ksuba as soon as possible in order that she has what to live off of.
But you still have to take time to sell the house.
Okay, so then fine. So meanwhile, she borrows money or whatever. If it's a short-term loan, she can probably get a loan like that. But
she has a lot of money.
Yeah, okay, but it's fine. She doesn't need that much money to live off for 1 month. So then children is a separate matter. We're talking about her herself. Children is a separate matter. If they're the children of the husband, then they're anyway either yarshining part of the property if they're sons, or if there's only girls and the daughters are yarshining, or if there's a mix of boys and girls and the girls are getting parnasa, they're getting a certain amount.
Yeah.
The same thing. The point is they're getting a certain amount of the estate to maintain.
Yeah.
No, that's the point, in other words. So therefore, there still is money for them. The question is for her ksuba. So look at this. She hasn't gotten her ksuba yet. Fine. Meanwhile, she can borrow money short-term from his owners. Anyway, the question is, Mikol Mokum lot of Asi Kasha, we still have the problem according to the Asi. So Rabbi Yochanan will have a way of explaining that the Mishnah is, after all, talking about for ksuba. There isn't the issue of mizonos necessarily, because once she comes to claim her ksuba, there's no more mizonos. However, so therefore, in principle, we shouldn't have to give her a ksuba at all, but after all, we can't leave her hanging dry, so therefore we have to give her a ksuba. But according to Rav Asi, who says the only case is where there's ribis involved, how is there ribis if it's a Jewish creditor? The answer is, we can, after all, be talking about where the creditor is a goy, and therefore he's collecting interest. You're saying if it's a goy, why is he going to be willing to wait 30 days? The reason is, kibble all of love in Virginia Israel. But you could be talking about a case where the goy agreed that he's going to follow Jewish law. And it could happen. It could be that when they first made the deal, when he first borrowed money or whatever, yeah, whatever. The question where is Yehochi Ribis Namigil Lishko? In that case, he shouldn't be collecting Ribis either. Now, the obvious question is, why not? A goy is perfectly allowed off the halacha to collect Ribis. No, well, that's the question. A goy is still a goy. The halacha is, a Jew is allowed to charge a goy interest. In fact, according to the Rambam, it's mitzvah of a Jew. A goy is allowed to charge a Jew interest, reciprocity. So what do you mean when he's kibble all of Lod and Virginia Israel, that would preclude him from taking interest? So the Rabbi Yaakov Emden brings up the question, and he says maybe we're talking about where the guy became a ger. But other Achronim talk about the Rashash, for example, talks about, you don't have to say that. What we mean is, we don't mean that he's not going to ever again be collected. We don't mean that he might have agreed to begin with to never collect Ribbis. We're talking about maybe he would agree that during these 30 days, I know that under your laws, we have to wait 30 days until we can sell this property. Fine, I'm willing to forego the Ribbis for those 30 days. So why don't we assume that? And the answer is, it's not necessarily. Should kibble all of the zoo, like kibble all of the zoo. The situation could be he agreed to one, but not the other. He agreed he's willing to wait for 3 days, but he wasn't willing to forego the ribbis during that time. So therefore, Abasi says that would be the case. The Mishnah is talking about, then Beis Din is going to get involved and sell this property of the Yisraelim because there's no choice. Otherwise, ribbis is eating away at their...
He's willing to wait
30 days, but he still wants his interest during that time. Yeah. Tashma, let's bring a proof from another place, a Mishnah in Gittin, says, Ein nifroin minichti yitzayim elo min adiboris. We say that when you're collecting from the property of Yisayim to pay off a debt, you can only collect from Ziboris. And that applies, by the way, even, for example, that usually a woman's tzubah is usually collected from Ziboris, but usually a regular Baal Chayv, a regular creditor, is entitled to collect from Danis. But in this case, because it's from property of Yisraelim, he only gets Ziboris. So again, let's figure out what's the case. B'maya Skinin, what are we talking about? Ilema b'achoyv o'dichavim, are we talking about that as a goyish creditor? Again, mitzoyis, is he going to listen? He's not going to, besides that he's not going to be willing to wait for 30 days. The pashtus, he's not going to be willing to only accept Ziboris either. El pshitim b'achoyv Yisrael, so obviously we must be talking about a Jewish b'achoyv. And again, e'ochu ribisa mishakin in life. Again, if he's collecting ribis, we're not going to allow it. So therefore, there's nothing to talk about ribis in that case. El adolai ocho ribis. So obviously, we must be talking about there's no ribis because Tony Niskokin was still saying in that Mishnah that we take property of Yitzchak and sell it. We only sell the Ziboris. Fine, we still sell it. So the same question. B'shleimel Rabbi Yochanan Moki Lava Ksuba Tisha. Rabbi Yochanan will understand we're talking about paying off the wife's Ksuba. So there's no ribis, but there's still Mizonis. El Rav Asi Kasha, but you have a question on Rav Asi. If he says the only valid reason to sell is because of ribis, there's no ribis involved over here. And again, the answer is like before, Amalach Rav Asi. Rav Asi will start by answering, Ola Rav Yechanan Minicha, what do you think that works well according to Rav Yechanan either? E Ksuba, before we brought it in connection with our Mishnah, now we're mentioning in connection with the Mishnah in Gittin. E Ksuba, if you're talking about a Ksuba, my Iriya Miyasmi, no, but a different question. If you're talking about collecting the Ksuba, my Iriya Miyasmi, why does the Mishnah have to mention a case where you're collecting it from your sermon? And if you're collecting from the husband, if the husband was still alive and he had divorced his wife, and she's also collecting from Ziboris. So that's the general rule. So Basisha is the Ziboris. So why the lowest quality, yeah. So why are you telling me that? So why are you telling me only when you're collecting from Yisraelim or your Chiddush that you're collecting from Ziboris? So obviously, therefore, Rav Asi is saying necessarily that Mishnah must somehow be talking about where there's Ribbis involved. The answer is Holei Kasha, that's not a problem because Rav Meir, because you could say that Mishnah goes according to Rav Meir, he would say that usually a wife collects for her ksuba from Beinonis, unlike a Chachamim who say that she collects from Ziboris. But when she's collecting from Yisraelim, then she only gets Ziboris. So fine, Rabbi Yochanan can explain the Mishnah that way. Mekom Mokom Rav Asi Kasha, but we're still left with the question on Rav Asi. If he says Ribis is the only valid reason, on the faith of it, there's no Ribis. And again, the answer is La'olam v'achoyv eretz chavim. Again, we can say that we're talking about a goyish creditor, Shekivel all of Lodin Virginia Yisrael, but he agreed to follow Jewish law and only take Ziboris. So the question is, again, Ihochi Ribis Namu Vilnishol, then why is he collecting Ribis? Again, either if according to Rav Yaakov Emden, he meanwhile became a ger, where then the halacha is enough that we're collecting ribis, or according to the Rashash, that we're talking about that he should be agreeing to not collect ribis for the time being. And again, the answer is, shekibbol lazu, v'lekibbol olav lazu. Again, the case could be that he agreed to some parts of Jewish law, but not all of them. So still no proof against Rashi. Tashma. So we still don't know. So Rav Asi still has his point, that only when there's ribis involved. Tashma. Come, let's bring a proof from our Mishnah. We said, not our Mishnah, but the Braisa that we quoted after the Mishnah at the bottom of Chafalah on the base. We said, that there we spell out that when we're selling the property of the Yisraelim, we have to spell out that we're doing it in order to pay the Ksuba or in order to pay the Baal Chayv, because we said because some people would prefer one and some people would prefer the other. So here we clearly spell out b'shlema b'al choyv. So when it comes to a creditor of bein mar bein mar kedushanim, okay, Rav Asi will have his answer that we're talking about a goyish creditor who's collecting ribis. but he agreed to follow Jewish law to a certain extent. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're talking about, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're talking about the creditor over here is the ksuba, el ksubasa. But the question is, according to the question, we also spelled out specifically, we said a ksuba. Or no, actually, the case rather would be, Rabbi Yochanan would say, we're talking about mezonos, let's say, that we have to sell property for mezonos. But if we're saying we're selling it for the purpose of a ksuba, Rabbi Yochanan can say, okay, because that's what we do. We have to sell property of Yisomim to pay a ksuba. El Rav Asi Kasha, but Rav Asi, who didn't consider a ksuba a valid reason to sell property of Yisomim, because he says the mezonos that they're having to pay her are offset by the maisi adel that they're collecting from her. So if one's Rav Asi, how's that right to work? The answer is, Hashem Maiskin Kishchai of Moedim. Yeah, but we can say the case that the Braisa and therefore the Mishnah are talking about is where this father, before he died, admitted that he still owes this money. So therefore, now we can say the Gemara is going to be discussing. We'll continue with most of the discussion tomorrow, Beis Hashem, that there are various reasons why ordinarily we say we don't collect from Yisomim. One of them is because the debt may have been paid off. But here, the father admits right before he died, debt wasn't paid off. Then that would be a valid reason to sell property of Yisomim. So that would be the answer, because then obviously the debt is still outstanding, and he himself admits that he hasn't paid it. Again, you could argue maybe the shtar is forged, maybe he already paid it off.
He could say that because he doesn't like his children very much.
No, right before a person dies, he's not going to do that. He's not going to say, I don't like my children very much. Ain't on a mishata, the expression. A person doesn't play games before he dies. But so if he says that he didn't owe the money yet, yeah. Hashed the office law. Okay, now that you reach that point, now that you reach that answer, kulanami shechayev moida. So now you could be. So he knows moida, he owes the debt. And therefore, now the Gemara says, now we can use that same answer for the previous parts as well. We can say that our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Gittin are both, you don't have to say that it's talking about a guy who was willing to accept Jewish law for some details but not for others. You can say it's talking about a Jewish creditor. There's no ribis involved, but chayev moida, and therefore we're going to sell property. Chayev moida. The chayev, the one who was obligated to pay, moida admitted before he died that he still owes this money. So in other words, according to Rav Asi, it's not only if there's ribis a chelas ban, also if chayev moida would be another valid reason to sell property of Yisomim. Yes, and actually altogether, I mean, we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, but we'll talk, ultimately there are several different reasons, there are several different cases where it's a valid thing for basically to be selling property of Yisomim to pay off a debt. Some of them we've had so far, where there's ribis involved, where there's a ksuba involved, because yes, the halacha is like the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan in that regard. But also chayev moida. There are other cases also. The Rambam mentions another one based on a ksuba from the Ran. Let's say, for example, that it will benefit the Yisraelim to pay off the debt sooner. Suppose that the creditor says, if you are willing to pay me now, your father owed me $1,000. If you're willing to pay me now, then I'll knock off $100 off the debt, and you'll only have to pay me $900. But so then it benefits the Yisraelim to sell it as soon as possible. That would be another valid reason for Beis Din to get involved and sell the property.
What about if they can refinance the property?
I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, refinancing would involve ribis, so then you have a different issue, right? Whatever, the bottom line is, again, that Rambam stresses it at the end of Tochus Nachos, which was the end, which was today's three parakim of Rambam, that Beis Din is always, and Beis Din, or an apotropos, if there is one, is always obligated to look out for the best interests of the Yisraelim. The expression is Beis Din, kol Beis Din or Beis Din, avim shel Yisraelim. Every Beis Din in the world is considered the father of the local Yisraelim, and they are responsible for making sure that the Yisraelim's best interests are being, that everything is being managed in the best interests of the Yisraelim.